MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, South Africa has just recorded its strongest new car sales in more than a decade, with over 422,000 passenger vehicles sold last year. All well and good. But beneath that headline recovery, the market, I think, appears to be shifting in important ways. Buyers are becoming a lot more price sensitive. Chinese manufacturers, and we've reported on this in full in the past, are rapidly gaining market share. Younger consumers, interestingly, are also driving demand, while premium buyers may be pulling back a little. And I think the important question is whether this is a genuine recovery for the motor industry or simply a structural reset around affordability. Let's bring into the conversation Aisha Hatia, who's Senior Director of Research and Consulting at TransUnion Africa. Welcome, Aisha. Thank you very much indeed. So that headline number looks strong, but how much of this is real recovery and how much is simply pent-up demand after the years of pandemic?
So I do think it's a little bit of both. We do see that pent-up demand. I mean, we're talking about record high sales in quarter four with over 114,000. It was the highest quarterly volume we saw since 2014. So that is sort of a massive recovery from a sales perspective and from an origination perspective. We did see quite low volumes, post-COVID. It took very long for us to recover. So 2025 has been the first year we're actually seeing that rebound in sales.
You argue, and this is makes perfect sense, that affordability is now the biggest driver of sales. But are you able to push that out a little for me? What exactly is changing in how South Africans calculate whether they can afford a new car or not?
So there's a couple of factors that play into what consumers are buying and in what sectors they're buying. So if we're looking at some of the other figures that we're seeing through, there has been a shift between the demand for new cars versus used cars. So that ratio that we normally calculate in terms of used versus new, that has declined. So more people are actually buying new cars over used cars. And that's where these new entrants and the Chinese markets play that role, because where consumers previously were buying secondhand cars because of the affordability, they're looking at paying a little bit extra and getting a new car. And with that new car comes a service plan, it comes with warranty. So it does give consumers that additional peace of mind when doing that purchases. So along with that affordability, they're also considering those additional costs that might arise between choosing a used versus a new car.
And that's very interesting, that narrowing gap between new and used cars. So we prefer new vehicles, as what I'm hearing you say, simply
Correct.
Because financing is making them look more affordable on a monthly basis. But is that accurate?
So what consumers are also doing, there is a lot of things that we need to consider again, right? So from a consumer perspective, when they're choosing the new car might be slightly more expensive. Again, they're making considerations around that total cost when it comes to servicing and warranties. What they might be not fully considering is the financing cost that comes along that. So what we see, what's happening is there's an extension of loans. So consumers are taking loans over longer periods. They're also taking bigger balloon payments, which then also affects that total cost of ownership. And that might be something that consumers do need to pay a little bit more attention to, because ultimately they're looking at their wallet in the short term. So yes, we're saving on servicing costs. Yes, we get a warranty. Yes, my installment might be lower because I've extended those terms. But ultimately, that total cost over the life cycle of the vehicle will increase.
And it's that balloon payment often at the end of the cycle that can, to extend the metaphor, really burst the bubble, right?
Correct. Because a lot of consumers at that point then have to rely on the residual value of the vehicle, or they have to be able to refinance those balloon payments at the end of term.
I want to talk about the Chinese brands. If I read your survey correctly, more than 17% of new vehicle sales. That's pretty impressive. Is it simply about price, or do you think consumers are starting to trust these brands in ways that they maybe didn't 3 or 4 years ago?
So we are seeing that structural shift towards that affordability-driven buying. So they do come in with quite aggressive pricing. They do have enhanced specification, extended warranties, and they are building that trust within consumers. Ultimately, consumers are weighing up the options in terms of, if they have to choose alternate brands, what does that mean from an affordability perspective, and what are they getting? So what are those bells and whistles that they're getting? And we're seeing that many of these Chinese manufacturers offer them too.
So what do you think that means for traditional brands that South Africans like, for instance, Toyota, Volkswagen, Ford, if Chinese manufacturers, as your numbers suggest, are growing 9 times faster than the market?
I think there is a place for them. I think they do have brand loyalty. We're seeing that with specifically with the upper-end millennials as well as the Gen Xs. But also they do offer, you know, certain buying incentives that they build into their current campaigns. And if you look at our current volumes right now, they still hold the top 5 volumes within the sales numbers that we're seeing currently. So they do definitely still have quite strong demand. They are still pushing very strong volumes. I think what we're seeing coming from the Chinese brands is perhaps a new market of consumers, to your earlier point, that had that pent-up demand that wasn't quite ready to enter the market. But the market for our traditional brands is still there. We are seeing their growth. And as I said, if you look at the top 10, our top 5 is made up of those traditional brands.
Interesting to draw that comparison, though, between Gen X, Gen Z and millennials, and then perhaps older, higher income buyers. Demand among that cohort seems to be cooling. Is that a sign maybe that the premium market is reaching saturation?
I wouldn't say saturation, but we can see that it's starting to normalize, you know, as the demand is shifting back towards those younger affordability conscious consumers. So there is still the, I mean, your luxury brands like BMW is also doing still really well in terms of getting into that premium led demand that still exists in the market.
Let me put this to you, though, and it's against the backdrop of what's happening in the Middle East. Vehicle affordability ultimately depends on interest rates and obviously fuel prices. Oil, again, spiking above $100 a barrel as we have this conversation. Aisha, let me suggest to you that the recovery that we've been talking about is very vulnerable if either of those move sharply again.
Correct. And I think that's what we're all sort of keeping our eye on. You know, even after our finance minister did the budget speech, and the very next day he had to go back and say, yes, it was good and we're all happy. And we're trying to figure out what that means for all of us. But that continuously changes. So we have to keep sort of our pulse on the dial. We have to understand what those moving parts are and the impact that it's going to have. So even as we're purchasing these vehicles, we're thinking short-term affordability, but we also need to consider, you know, can I afford the car if the interest rate goes up? Can I afford the car if the petrol goes up? What kind of buffers do I have in place in my wallet and in my pocket to help sort of prevent that shock that might come?
Well, keeping her pulse on the dial for us, that's Aisha Hatia, who's Senior Director of Research and Consulting at TransUnion Africa.